Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is the recompense tribulation? That is the topic for this morning's exhortation. The Bible says that ye and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This world is in sin. The immorality, the depravity, the wickedness, and the evil that abound in our world cannot be denied. The law of man will try to curb it as much as possible, but from God's perspective, as revealed to us in Holy Scriptures, we know that it is God who is the only one who is able to give this world of ours some semblance of peace, so that the gospel message may be preached far and wide. But there is no sin from this world that is worse than the sin against God's children. When you face persecution, do not be angry. Do not be upset. Do not be discouraged. Do not be depressed. It is an honor and a privilege to suffer for the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so when you look at these people who are persecuting you, who are inflicting upon you all sorts of tribulation to try their utmost to destroy your life, your witness, your testimony for Christ, do not harbor any ill will. Do not harbor any anger or hatred toward these people. Because the moment you do so, you have sinned as well. You have not sinned as long as you bear a godly witness and a testimony for Christ, whether in school as children, or whether at home when you are a Christian and your parents are not Christians and they make life difficult for you, or if you are a husband or a wife and your spouse is not a believer and he or she makes life difficult for you, or you are at your workplace because of your Christian principles. You hold on without yielding. You hold on because you don't want to sin against Christ. And the world does not understand. And sometimes because of your firm Christian principles, you may have to deal with sin and error and unethical practices in your company. And they are not going to like you. They are going to make life difficult and they will wish that you are out. They will try their best to get rid of you, to destroy you. Do not at any time harbor any ill will. The reason is that your God is sovereign. Your Heavenly Father will know best what is best for you. You have to trust Him. You have to learn to exercise faith, not only in times of plenty, but also in times of adversities. This is the world that the Lord has placed us in. And the reason is the Lord has set us the example. The Lord has told us, just as they have hated me, they will also hate you. Just as they have called me names, they have persecuted me, they will do the same to you as long as you live like Christ, for Christ. Because they are not actually persecuting you, but the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Apostle Paul was confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord said to him, "Why persecutest thou me, Paul?" Paul was stunned. He thought that he was only persecuting Christians. He never realized that when Christians suffer persecution, the Lord Jesus Christ, He felt the pain and the hurt. And whatever persecution that you face, bear in mind it is the Lord Jesus Christ who also faces it just as well. Therefore, as Christians, count it a joy, count it a privilege. All the more so, you must never retaliate. You must not do anything that will bring down the testimony that you bear for Christ's sake. Don't ever retaliate. The reason is because the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty Himself, will render to everyone who touches His children according to His justice. And this is what we are going to look at this morning. What is the recompense tribulation? That's how God described it. The recompense tribulation. The word tribulation is to press, is to squeeze. And the enemy will try their best to do that to you. And so the word used here, as found in verse 6, the Lord Himself will recompense to these persecutors of God's children the just recompense. As God Almighty, the judge of all judges, the King of Kings, He makes no mistakes. He will never over or under punish anyone. He will deal with them. And so when you look at them, don't envy them, because sometimes you're going to find that they will get away with all their evil and their wrongdoing. And they're going to gloat. They're going to laugh. They're going to mock. And that makes it even more difficult for you not to have any ill will, and the desire to retaliate and have that pound of flesh is very real. But you must resist. You must at all costs change your perspective when you look at them. This is how God wants us to look at them, because this is what they're going to receive from God, your Heavenly Father. He knows, because He loves you. He will always love you. He loved us when we were sinners. How much more when we are His sons and His daughters? And so let us look at the nature of this tribulation that God will heap upon the enemies of Christians and of Christ. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. In flaming fire, fire was first introduced to us as God's judgment in the city of Sodom and the surrounding plains and cities as well, including Gomorrah and others. Fire and brimstone fell from heaven. God also sent fire from heaven to destroy and kill the two sons of Aaron when they offered strange fires. Fire has been used by God to punish time and time again. When the people of Israel sinned against God in Israel in Numbers 11, fire came down from heaven as well to consume them. What was the nature of their sin? We are not told. But fire came down from heaven. In flaming fire, that means it will be swift. It will be hot. It will be painful. And there will be no one who will be able to escape. And this will be the judgment of God. It will come swift. It will come immediate. And it will be to its fullest. And that is why when you look at the enemies of Christians, look at them as sinners, awaiting the awesome, wrathful judgment of God Almighty, and a punishment that you will not want to wish upon anyone. And that is why you must not retaliate. You should pity them, not envy them. You should feel sad for them, because all you have done is to give them the love of God. All you have done is to show them how much Jesus loved them, how much Jesus paid a precious price of His own blood to die for them. And what did they do in return? They hurt you, they persecute you. You think a Heavenly Father will not know? That's why God described in flaming fire. That's how swift it will be. That's how total and complete it will be. You stand true in the defense of the testimony of Christ and the Word of God in your life, where God has placed you. And you look at these persecutors of your life with sadness, not with envy, not with anger. Watch how you respond and react. Taking literally means giving to them their just due. That's the meaning of the word. To give to them their just due. And what will God give to them? His vengeance. The vengeance here is a description of a courtroom situation where God is going to be the judge. And the enemy who has persecuted you while they remain on this earth, standing below, with God seated there as the judge, and God will just impart to them the judgment that they deserve. And there is no way any one of them can excuse themselves for what they have done. Now, these are not a reference to non-believers. The non-believers are those who have never heard of Christ. The non-believers are those who have never been given anything about the Word of God, and they will die in their sin, and God will use His creation to judge them, as Romans 1 tells us. But these are unbelievers. These are people whom you have shared with them Christ. You have shared with them the gospel. These are the people who have been touched by your testimony and your life as a Christian. They have seen Christ in your life. And they rebuff it. Not only did they reject it, they try to hinder you, they try to stop you, and try to destroy your testimony and your witness. Now these are the people that the Lord is referring to here. Not people who are ignorant of Christ. People who downright ignore Christ, reject Christ, and that's why they are called not non-believers, but unbelievers. They don't want to believe. Not about those who have never heard before, but these who have heard, but they reject it to your face. And they try to hurt you and hinder you, even as you try to witness to others. They get upset. They get angry with you. These are the ones, God says, they are going to stand before God, and the vengeance of God, the right judgment, justice, punishment of God will be given out to them in flaming fire. The fiery judgment of God will come upon them, and they are not going to escape. Not a single one of them. They will escape the law of man, no doubt about that. And many have escaped over and over again. But you must not wish that you are like them. You must not wish that you should no longer stand and be a godly witness. You must never give up. That is why 1 Corinthians 15:58 is so easy to memorize. Remain steadfast, unmovable. So easy to memorize, but it is so hard to practice, isn't it? To remain steadfast in your faith, in your testimony as Christians. Don't let anyone shift you from this position. You remain firm and strong, and then be unmovable. No matter what, whether it is temptation, whether it is temptation by means of seduction or threats of hurt and pain. It will come from people that you care for. It will come from people that you love. And that's why it makes it so painful and so difficult. Because you care for these people, and all you want for them is the very best. To become Christians just like you, because you have tasted the goodness of God and what it's like to be a Christian. To know that when you die, you know you're going to heaven. And you want them to be with you in heaven, but the more you share with them, the more they persecute you. The more they make life difficult. They snide at you. They mock you. They will do their utmost to discourage you. Don't let them succeed, because you wrestle not against flesh and blood. Look at them in sadness and in pity, and plead with God for mercy. Plead with God to open their eyes, because only God could open their eyes to see. Why would they want to hate Christ so much? What has Christ done for them or to them that they will hate Him so much? They don't actually hate you. They hate the Christ that they see in you. Christ died for them. They are in sin. They are dying in sin. They are heading toward hell, into a Christless eternity. And God loved them so much, He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for them. And God accepted what Christ has died for them by raising Christ from the dead, so that they can be forgiven of all their sins, and all they need to do is to turn to Christ and accept Him as their Lord and as their Savior. That's all they need to do. It's as simple as that. And that's the message that you want to bring, not only with your mouth, in words, but also by your life. As a son, as a daughter, as a husband, as a wife, as an employer, employee, wherever God sent you, as a student. That's what you must always bear in mind. And look at these individuals who persecute you not as your enemies. It is a spiritual warfare. The more you show love, the more Christ will shine. The more you retaliate and you bear a grudge and bitterness, the less Christ will shine forth in your life, and Satan would win. Don't let Satan win. You bear this in mind. They will not escape your Heavenly Father's justice. Don't let the justice of God befall them. The only way that they can get out of God's justice is what you find in the second part of verse 8. That's the only way. That know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The moment they become a child of God, the moment they know God, the moment they accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, all their sins will be forgiven, including the sins of persecuting Christians. And that must be your desire, and that must be your goal, that must be your aim that you must never lose sight of. Because these are the ones who have heard the gospel. They repudiate it. They refuse to know God. They just don't want to know Him. Not that they have not been given opportunity after opportunity. And that's exactly what God wants you to do in your home, in your school, in your workplace. And that's why you must not give up bearing a godly witness, regardless of how the loved ones or your friend, whoever, persecutes you. You don't ever stop. When do you stop? You stop when the Lord says you stop. And the Lord will call you to stop when the Lord takes you home. As long as there is breath in your life, you never stop witnessing. Even in the darkest moment, you must shine the brightest, because that's when the light will shine the brightest. You really love the one who persecutes you from the heart? Really love them? Your father, your mother, your spouse, your son, your daughter, whoever the person might be, your friend. Then you must hold on. Hold on to your Christian witness and testimony, because the recompense of God against these enemies of Christ is real, and it will come. And the only way that they can get out of it is to know God personally, and the only way they can do that is to accept the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to give them the gospel. That's the only way that they can avoid the flaming, fiery judgment of God Almighty. No other way. That's the only way. The Apostle Paul escaped because he turned to Christ. And all the heated persecutions that he leveled against the Christians, hounding them from home to home, incarcerating them because they believe in Jesus Christ, all his sins were washed clean by the blood of Christ the moment he accepted Christ. Now, albeit he did out of ignorance, and you will understand that these people who hurt you, they also do not know. They are blind, they are dead in sin. That's why they do not know that they are hurting and harming the son and the daughter of the Most High God. They do not know. If they know that you are a child of God, they will leave you alone. They will take very good care of you. They'll roll out red carpet to welcome you. If they know that you are a child of God Almighty, that is why God did not make us any different from the unbelievers after we are born again. You and I look the same. That's why the Apostle Paul encouraged us by telling us in 1 John chapter 3 that now are we the sons of God. Even though we may look the same externally, but wait, one day we will all look different, and then they will realize, to their shock and to their horror, what they have done to the children of Most High God. And they're going to be very, very nervous and frightened. Very nervous and frightened. They look at us as no different from themselves. They just see us as weaklings. They just see us as doormats. They just see us as a ball they can kick around. So be it. Let them take advantage of your Christian witness and testimony. They will. But don't you be bitter. You continue. But why must I be taken advantage of? You must never reason that way. You know why you must never reason that way? Because your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was He not taken advantage of by us? That's what it means when He carried your sins and my sins on the cross. That's what it means when He faced the betrayal and the humiliation of being crucified naked on the cross. Did we not take advantage of the Son of God and the Son of Man when He died for us? Because of our sins, He went there. He went to the cross. Your loved ones, they are dead in sin. They are blind. They do not know. They do not know about this judgment that awaits them. This judgment is for our comfort. This judgment is to reassure us. God wants to protect your soul, your life, your heart, your mind, so that you and I will not respond wrongly in the face of persecution from friends and loved ones, because He knows that it can be very trying. He knows that your persecution is not just one day, one month, and one year. It could be for many years. He knows. And sometimes you wish, isn't it, that it will all end immediately. Do not pray that it will end immediately. Do you know what it means when it will end immediately? Either He dies or the Lord takes you home. Which one do you prefer? The Lord takes you home or the person dies? The person who persecutes you, the Lord can just simply kill him. And you know what will happen. The moment that person dies, the person will end up in the lake of fire. That's where the person will go. And his opportunity to believe in Christ, to know God, to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ is all over. As long as he has breath in his body, as long as he has breath and he has not accepted Christ, he is a sinner bound for hell for eternity. Please understand that. It is a place that you do not wish upon your worst enemy. The only way that they can get out of it is through your testimony. That's how important your life as a Christian is. That's why your testimony is so crucial and so important. Everywhere you go, you are surrounded by sinners who are heading into a Christless eternity, heading into hell. Do you realize that? Everyone that God brings into your life who does not know God, who has not accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are dying in sin. And their life on this earth can stop at any time. You have read enough from the internet and from the newspaper to know how life is so fragile, how life is not in our hands, not in anybody's hands. You are not the captain of your own destiny. If you ever think so, you are fooling yourself, and you're going to be the greatest loser. You can't control 1 minute of your life. Don't talk about your whole life. Not 1 minute. Anything can happen. And your heart could just stop beating. You just go out there and a person did not drive carefully and you get knocked down and that's it. It may not be your fault. It could be somebody else, in inverted commas, mistakes. And all the law can do is to put this person into prison, ban him from driving for life or for a number of years, and that's it. Your life is over. You're not going to come back. It's all over. That is why when you face persecution, look at your persecutors with new eyes. They are facing the flaming fire of God. And the only way they can get out of it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ? Don't just talk about the love of God. Don't just talk about Christ. Let them see. As a Christian wife and a Christian husband, continue to emanate forth the love of God. The more they persecute you, the more you love them, the more you care for them, the more you show love. That's the only way. That's the only way. Don't fight back, don't resist. Love them. That's the only way that they get out of it. Get out of what, you may ask? Look at verse 9. How will God punish them? Who shall be punished? The same word for vengeance, the same root word. It is a sentencing of condemnation by God Almighty. To what? Everlasting destruction. Everlasting destruction. Not annihilation. They're not going to die and then just disappear into nothingness. Don't you ever believe that lie. There will be everlasting destruction awaiting them. Everlasting destruction, as described by God, is gnashing of teeth because of the intense pain in the fiery hell. And there is no relief. And it will go on and on and on and on and on and on for eternity. You just imagine what is the most excruciating pain that you could ever experience on this earth. You just imagine. Multiply that 1,000 times. And then you just imagine, if you ever possibly can, eternity. And they're going to experience that kind of pain without end. Day in, day out, 24/7. For how long? Forever and ever and ever and ever. No relief at all. This is what will happen to anyone who die in their sin without Christ. That's why sin is so heinous. You and I try our best to take away pain. All the time. You have a headache, you take some Panadol to relieve the pain. We just don't like pain, isn't it? You see a dentist, what do? The dentist says, this cavity is pretty deep, pretty big. Do you want an injection? Sure, give me an injection. How much? Never mind how much, just give it to me. You should save some money. Next time you see a dentist, if he's going to extract your tooth or he's going to fix a cavity, tell them, no need injection, I just want to feel some pain. Why? Because I want to feel what's it like. I want to be alive. Feel the pain. You try. And you multiply that 1,000 times. You and I don't like pain. Mother giving birth, if possible, give the mother the jab, the epidural jab, they call it, right? Remove the pain. God says, because of sin, Eve, you're going to have increased pain in childbirthing. Neutralize that. Find some kind of medicine that will dull the pain. go for GA. You know, general anesthesia, when you go for major operation, why do they have to give you general anesthesia? What if the person did not give you enough? And then halfway through opening up your stomach, you woke up. Ayya, it's me. Huh? The pain? Oh, no pain. Oh, but the stomach is all open. Do you want that? We try our best to avoid pain as much as possible. All kinds of pain, right? But when a person is in hell, no water, nothing. And there are those who mock it. You give them the gospel, you tell them about hell, tell them about sin, they laugh. I bring my air condition with me. They mock, they make fun. You just stand there. Nothing to laugh about. Only great sadness. This person doesn't know. And that's why he responds in that manner, because he's blind, he's dead in sin. That is an evidence of one who is dead in sin, who doesn't care about the judgment of God. No matter how you try, that's why you must continue to bear a godly witness. This is what awaits them. The immediacy of the judgment when the Lord comes. The only way they can get out of it is to believe in Christ. And that's what they must see in you. Because what awaits them is an everlasting destruction that they are not going to get out of. Everyone on this earth, the only time you can accept Christ and to know God is right now while you are still breathing. And that's why you must never, never give up. Don't be weary in well-doing, in your godly witness and testimony in the face of the most painful and intolerable attacks. You must pray for God's grace and God's mercy to abound in your life. And always bear in mind, the Lord will never allow you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. And so if the Lord allows it, the Lord knows that your faith is strong enough to endure it. For these people will face the everlasting destruction of God. When, you may ask, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. From the presence of the Lord. What does that mean? That means they are going to stand before the presence of God Almighty. God will see them, and they are going to see God. And then when that happens, everything will be all over. Everything will come to an end. That's what happens when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. He comes as the judge of all judges, and when they see Him, they're going to be shocked. They're going to see whom they have rebuffed and persecuted and mocked and laughed at. And all the sons and daughters that God has sent into their lives to share with them God's love, they're going to regret it all the days of their lives, even into eternity. But there's nothing they could do about it. It's too late. The moment they stand in the presence of the Lord, it's all over. Because the return of Christ, the second coming of Christ, which is the main thrust of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, is about the judgment of God. It's about the judgment of Jesus Christ, because He no longer will come as the Savior. He comes only as the judge. You and I must understand this whenever you think of the second coming of Christ. It is the judgment of Christ that is coming upon all these enemies of Christ, about all these persecutors of Christians, your persecutors. That is why you must not judge them by getting angry with them, by hurling all kinds of words. Don't bite your tongue. Continue to love and continue to pray and continue to show them what Christ is like. And that's what God wants all of us to do. That's why He revealed this to us. It's not for them, it's for us. This is what happens to them. Your persecutors, your Father, your Heavenly Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ will not let them get away with hurting you. They are going to face everlasting destruction when they stand before the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the everlasting destruction will also result in them having pushed away from the presence of Christ. They're not going to be in the presence of Christ. Because they're going to be in hell. Of course, the presence of Christ is not about denying the omnipresence of God. The omnipresence of God simply means everywhere is in the presence of God. This presence of the Lord talks about heaven. It talks about the blissful, wonderful, peaceful, amazing, perfect heaven. They will be far away from this place, because that's where the presence of God is. And they will have no part in it. They have no share in it. And this is what awaits them. That's why don't be angry with them. Don't retaliate. Love them more and more. More and the more they persecute you, the more you shine, the more you pray for them, the more you tell them, God loves you more, all the more. You can be angry with me, you can mock me, you can laugh at me. Yeah, you know it hurts me. But God loves you nonetheless, no matter what you do to me. The Lord Jesus Christ will always love you. You must accept Him. You must believe in Him, or else you will die in your sin. And God doesn't want you to die in your sin. And I don't want you to die in your sin, because I care for you, because I love you. And I want the best for you. And the best for you is in terms of eternity. Please come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That must be your constant heart's cry and heart's desire for the ones who persecute you. That's what you must have. Because that's what the Lord went through. That's what the Apostle Paul went through. And that's what many of God's saints went through. And God wants all of us, likewise, to follow in their footsteps, to do the same. And also from the power of the glory of God, the glory of His power. The glorious power, you know how amazing and how wonderful it is? For those who are sinners, God said, no man can live. That's why God said to Moses, as long as you're in this earthen vessel, the moment you see the glory of God Almighty, you will die. Immediately. That's the amazing power, the glory of God to all unbelievers. But to all believers, the glory of the power of God for us is the day of glorification. It's the day where we will receive the power as well, the glory that God awaits, that God has promised that awaits all of us as His children. For us who are His children, it is the reverse. We will become powerful. We will become glorified. The opposite. Whereas for the enemy, it will be the other way around. They are going to be cast into everlasting destruction. The glory of the power of God will kill them, will destroy them. They cannot stand the awesome glory of the purity and the holiness of God Almighty. And for us, His children, we will embrace it. We can't wait for the day to come, isn't it? We long for the wonderful day to come. But for them, please understand, it will kill them. It will send them to everlasting destruction. That is hell. And then ultimately, the lake of fire that will burn and burn and burn without end. Who are these people who will end up in the lake of fire? The enemies of Christians, all sinners, homosexuals, fearful, liars, disobedient to parents, all these adulterers, fornicators, murderers, sorcerers, all kinds of sins, they will be there, including those who attack God, attack God's work, attack God's children, attack God's people. The glory of the power of God is yours, dearly beloved. And that is why when you face the enemies because you want to live for Christ, don't be angry. Don't be upset. Continue to witness. Continue to pray. Continue to tell them more and more about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this is what awaits them. The awful, fiery, flaming judgment of your Heavenly Father. They will never escape. And so if you are facing trials and difficulties where you are, in school, they mock you, they make fun of you because you want to be a godly witness in school, just let them. But you continue to shine. Don't retaliate. Continue to shine brighter. In your workplace, you know how difficult it is to work in the world out there, because the world out there is evil and wicked, and all they care about is how to make money. They don't care how they do it. But you as a Christian, you are never there to make money. You're there to bear a godly witness. Because every colleague that you face, God has brought them into your life. And every colleague that you see who are outside Christ, you must know that this is what awaits them. And so you must look at them with these eyes, that they are sinners in need of the Savior. They are sinners who need to see Christ. Because if they don't see Christ in you, because you do not know whether they're going to see another Christian like you, they're not going to, you do not know where they're going to see another Christian, period. you may be the last witness that God may send into their lives before they die. And therefore, you must bear in mind how important it is for you to go to your workplace with the right kind of heart, constrained by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go out there in whatever profession, with whatever job that you do, you don't ever lose sight of the people, the children, the adults, the old folks, whoever it is that comes into your life. You may be the Christian, the only Christian, that they're going to see for the rest of their lives on this earth. And if they don't see Christ, this is it. It's all over for them. Not for you, for them. It's over for you in terms of bearing a witness for them. But you will be in heaven as a child of God. That can never, never be taken away from you. Because you are truly born again. You must make sure of your own salvation. Not even Satan can take away your promise by God to you. Eternity in His presence. The power of the glory of God will be yours to experience and to enjoy for all eternity. And so whatever persecution you face on this earth, it's only for a short while. It is nothing compared to the glorious power that God has given to all of us. It's only a matter of when, not if, in His time. And so while you are in this body, you go out there and you witness. At home, you have mom and dad, husbands and wives who are non-believers. How have you been testifying? How have you been witnessing? Have you been a godly husband? Have you been a godly wife? Have you been a godly son and godly daughter? And if you don't, you know the time is not on your side. With every passing day, it is one day fewer, one day lesser for you to witness for Christ. You know that. And at any time, everything will come to a swift end and swift conclusion. Just last week, Reverend Jeffrey Koo shared with me that one of their church members, or not, I don't know whether he was their church member, he was one of the interpreters of True Life. He interpreted for me before. Suddenly he passed away. The Lord took him home. And last Tuesday was his funeral. It was all over. He was from Calvary, Jurong. He went over to True Life for worship. And so he served there. Now his life is over. He did not know that last Christmas was his last Christmas. He did not know that last watch night service was truly his last. He did not know that 2013 would be the year that the Lord says, your service is over. Come home. You have served enough. It's done. Your life must be a life of service. God has saved us. God can take us to heaven at any time. But He says, no. I want you to remain on earth. I give you health and strength. I give you all that you need, the indwelling of the Spirit of God, the love of Christ in your heart, to succeed. Succeed in what kind of environment, what kind of circumstances? This kind of environment and circumstance. Great persecution and difficulty. To what end? To be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. You and I are dead. It's no more I. It's always Christ now. And that is why it is so important for you and me to bear a godly witness. Don't just pray and put on the prayer list your loved ones who are outside Christ. That is good, but that is definitely not enough. Because they are not going to see us. They're going to see you. And this is what they must see. They must see Christ in you. And what you must see in them when they persecute you, when they laugh at you, when they mock at you, you remember these two verses. You remember the flaming fire that awaits them. You remember that the only way they can get out of this flaming fire of the judgment of God, the vengeance of God, is through Jesus Christ and to know Him. Or else, they're going to experience everlasting destruction when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And they're going to die. And they're going to spend eternity in hell. And you will be in heaven. They're going to be in hell forever and ever. Bear this in mind. As you face persecution from them, don't hate them. Continue to love them. Continue to pray for them. Because whatever they can do to you is nothing compared to what your Heavenly Father will do to them. Isn't it true? That is why it is so important for you and me to be holy. That's why it is so important for us to have godly Christian fellowship, to encourage one another, because we know how difficult and how painful and how lonely it can be to face persecution. That's what the church is for. That's what all these Bible studies and what the fellowship groups, that's what it's for, to console, to comfort, and to help one another. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul says, remember, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Rest with us. Come. Encourage one another. You don't have to fight alone. You don't have to stand alone. If you find it so hard, there are many brothers and sisters in Christ who are in the same state as you are, who are in the same situation as you are. And they need you just as much as you need them to encourage one another. Because now you know that these enemies of yours are actually enemies of Jesus Christ. And your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will deal with them one day. Pray that they will not see Christ as their judge, but as their Savior. And that can only take place right now. The moment He comes, the moment they stop breathing, it's all over. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, to realize the awesome nature of what it means to be a Christian as we sojourn on this earth as strangers and sojourners. To know, O Lord, that we are to be Your witnesses, and how You have brought into our lives many non-believers and unbelievers. Help us, O Lord, to continue to shine forth for our Savior. And for the many times when we have failed Thee because of persecution, because of the hardness of heart and the tribulations that we have encountered, we have not borne a good witness. Forgive us. Help us, O Lord, to never murmur. Help us, O Lord, to harbor no anger, no hatred against anyone because of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we continue to shine brighter through the love of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His grace and His mercy, may we be victorious, that our loved ones, our friends, and our colleagues who persecute us by our lives and our response, may they see Christ shine brighter and brighter, the greater the persecution. Because what awaits them, O Lord, is the flaming fiery judgment of God Almighty. And we plead and we pray, O Lord, that You will be merciful to use us to reach out to many of our loved ones and friends who are still outside Christ. O Lord, may Thou be merciful to take away the hardness of their hearts and use Your sons, Your daughters, and send them forth, O Lord, to bear a godly witness. And even in the face of the hottest persecution, may they remain steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, continue to testify and shine for the Savior, that others, when they see Your children, they will see Christ in them and become Christians, thus glorifying our Father who art in heaven. Bless this church, O Lord, with Thy grace and Thy mercies, that we may mutually encourage one another in the face of persecution that many of us are facing even right now. Help us, for Jesus' sake, for our heart's cry and our heart's desire is to live for our Savior, even unto the day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.